let's begin by opening our Bibles to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. We'll take up prayer requests here in a little bit. And only one side of the lesson tonight. So let's go to Acts chapter number 2 to begin with. Then we'll go to Matthew 28 after I give the introduction here. I want to bring a message tonight on church membership. Lesson number one, the joining in membership in this Baptist church. All right? Church membership. And I believe we'll learn some things here tonight. And if not learn, then refresh. But Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter number 2. We'll begin by reading verse 41. Acts chapter number 2, verse 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So, marvelous things that the Lord did there in one day, and he's done similar things since then in different places that I have heard. Places like the Philippines and different places where people are just hungry for the Word of God. And I believe we can glean some things as talking about membership in this church. Then they that gladly received His Word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We love you because you first loved us and you showed us your love by dying for us on the cross. And thank you, Lord, that someone shared that message with us via verbal or via tract, but somehow you got the message to us and we thank you for it. And I pray you bless us, Lord, as we glean from your word and look, Lord, just to be steadfast, Lord, to be unmovable, to be a church that would honor you because you honor your word. And I pray that you would be magnified as a result. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we just read that. So now go to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter number 28. And as you do, I'll read the first paragraph there. This is an independent Baptist church. The independent meaning autonomous in that this local church, under the authority of Christ, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, is self-governing. Okay? So, a couple of blanks there already. So, this is an independent Baptist church. The independent meaning autonomous in that this local church, under the authority of Christ and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, is self-governing, self-propagating, and self-supporting. This means that there is no hierarchy or papacy or any outside influence that tells this church how to operate or handle the business of the church. Now, we might say, yeah, of course, but we take it for granted. Most churches are not that way. Most churches are not that way. And so the Baptist in our name stands for, if you were to put it in one sentence, I would say, the Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. Sole, S-O-L-E. All right? The Baptist in our name stands for, the Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. All right? So now let's go to Matthew chapter number 28, verse 18. And we'll read 18 through 20, we'll come back to that, but Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So as we look at these truths, I was thinking of a message. I believe I preached it here before we became members before I pastored here, entitled, What is a Baptist? Do any of you remember that, or is that just a figment of my imagination? Because sometimes the Lord brings a message to you, and you think you're going to preach it, and then He changes it, and you've never preached it. But what is a Baptist? And the acrostic, Baptist, we use the first B, Bible. Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice. And we look at 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 1, Psalm 12, 6, and 7. And then we use the word A from Baptist, autonomy of the local church. Churches make decisions under the Holy Spirit's leadership. Matthew 18, 15 to 17, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, Galatians 1, 2. Not a hierarchy, not a papacy. Then Baptist, B-A-P, priesthood of every believer. In other words, individual soul liberty. Each and every one of us can come to God by ourselves. We don't need the church to help us come to God. We don't need a preacher or a pope to help us come to God. Jesus Christ brings each individual to God so that we have access to the throne room of God. We don't need anybody to do that for us, only Jesus Christ. And so we're at BAP. And then T, the first T, two ordinances, two church ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table. And there we look at Matthew 28 and 1 Corinthians 11. And we talked about that there's no merit in salvation of water baptism or the Lord's table. But those are two things, if we're going to be obedient to the Lord and honor His authority in this church, that we will have. And then immersion is the only mode of baptism. And looking at Acts chapter number 8 and John chapter number 3, immersion is the only mode of baptism, which is why we're called really a Baptist church. It makes us different than most churches, because a lot of churches, it doesn't matter how you baptize, or some churches teach that baptism is part of salvation, or some other strange teaching. Then, so baptize, immersion, and then S, saved church membership. You'd be surprised how many churches do not have that in their constitution or belief system.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember a distant family member of mine who I barely remember from Mexico when I was a little kid, and he was starting churches all over the place. And as I talked to people, they didn't have a testimony of salvation or of being baptized, and yet they had been added to the church that he started. So if you go by the authority of Christ, you scratch your head and ask yourself, how is that possible? And the answer is, it's not possible. Now, the next, after saved church membership in the acrostic Baptist, two offices, pastor and deacon, according to Titus chapter number 1 and 1 Timothy chapter number 3. There are not more than two offices. There's only two offices, pastor and deacon. And then we looked at separation of church and state, and we looked at ecclesiastical separation, which means the church is separated from the world in that the church is not the world and does not love the world. And then personal separation, same thing. We as individuals are not in love with the world, and we're not mimicking the world. We're separate from the world, just trying to reach the world with the gospel. But we're not trying to tell them to act like a Christian if they're not a Christian, and we're not wanting to act like them because we are a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
So Matthew 28 here, Jesus came and spake unto them, look at your outline, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So number one, the Great Commission is given to the local church. If the church will be here until the end of the world, then it has to propagate and plant churches. Okay? It just makes sense if the Lord says, until the end of the world. Well, is the church at Jerusalem, is the First Baptist Church, say, why is it the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem? Well, because the converts in that church were either baptized by John the Baptist, right? Or by those that were baptized by Jesus' disciples. And they all had baptistic beliefs as we believe them today, because we're going to the Word of God. And so the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem wasn't going to last until 2024, because its members would have died. And the church, though it would be possible if a church wasn't corrupted, wasn't compromised, but I don't know of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem still in existence. Anybody here? You've heard of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem on fire for God and still spreading the gospel? When people, unfortunately, when people go to Jerusalem, they say, well, we went in this church and this Catholic place, but yeah, we still got to see so-and-so. But you usually don't hear of a great on fire for God church that is there. Do they need one? Absolutely. But that church did not last until now. So it just stands to reason to be obedient to the Lord and to plant churches, to propagate yourself, to reproduce yourself. In the book of Acts, we see the same local church meeting for prayer, and in Acts 2, preaching the gospel and baptizing the converts. So the Great Commission is given to the local church. So let's go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, and let's read verses 14 through 17. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. So here is the church meeting together, about 120 of them. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then look at verse 41. Actually, let's go from verse 38 to 41 this time. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Okay, so number one, the Great Commission is given to the local church. Now, you might say, but we support all these missionaries. Yes, we support missionaries that are sent out of their local New Testament church. Okay? We don't support someone who comes in the door and says, well, I don't have a church to go to, and I don't want to be a church member at your church, but I want you to support us. And I tell that person to go take a hike. I don't care what great ministry he has, but take a hike, because you need to be a part of a local New Testament church. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
And let's see. I might have it down here, but maybe I'll get to it. So look at number two here. The two church ordinances are given to the local church, Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the early church. He's not just talking to a multitude of 5,000 people right now. He's talking to the early church, and he's giving them the ordinances. He's giving them the orders to march, give the gospel out, and then baptize those that believe. So the two, let's go here to 1 Corinthians 11 for the second ordinance, and then I'll get into the paragraph here. 1 Corinthians 11 doesn't talk about baptism, but Matthew 28 does, and these members of this church would have been baptized. So 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." Now, we're going to do this before Easter, and I believe it's April 5th on a Wednesday night service that we're going to do this. Look at verse 25. "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So notice he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Okay? This is delivered to the local New Testament church. This they're supposed to do, and this we will do. Now, some people will make a big deal out of, well, you should do it every Sunday, or you should do it every so-and-so. In that aspect, there really isn't a right or wrong. Because the Lord says, as oft as ye do it. So I believe he's leaving that to the leadership of the church as the Holy Spirit of God leads them as often as they should do it. Okay? But the two church ordinances are given to the local church. The two church ordinances are water baptism and the Lord's table. Now, I put water baptism there because it bothers me a little bit when someone's trying to prove the right baptism, but they take the wrong baptism out of context. Just because the Bible talks about water doesn't mean it's talking about the baptismal tank every time. We've looked at 1 Corinthians 12:3 before, where it talks about the Spirit of God baptizing us into the body of Christ, right? That's not talking about water baptism. So, water baptism and the Lord's table, which are given to the local church. Some will use Paul as an example of not using a local church. But the student of the Word knows God called Paul and sent Paul out from his church. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In verse number 1, Acts 13, verse number 1. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Okay? So notice that Paul and Barnabas, they're busy serving in the local New Testament church. These are saved, baptized individuals, members of this church, and the Holy Spirit of God tells the church, separate them so that they can go out because I've called them for a specific task. Now, what's the task going to be? The Great Commission. What's the work of the local New Testament church? What's the work of missionaries? It's the Great Commission. Amen?
Amen.
And by the way, if a man says he's called to the ministry and he's never served in the local New Testament church, he should never be sent out. And if a man doesn't know how to submit himself to a pastor and serve in the local New Testament church, that man should never, never be sent out. Let him find another church that is more naive. And they can deal with the problems because there will be major problems. Number 3. The authority himself, the greatest, I think I forgot to put the greatest example by the Savior. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. I love this example. I love seeing that the Lord Jesus, he was our example in getting baptized the right way. and what the Lord did, that God the Father was pleased in him doing that. But look at this from verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. That means he allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, over the years, since I've been a Christian, I've seen a lot of emphasis on the dove and the Spirit, and a lot of pictures that don't picture it right. And I've never seen this aspect, though. Jesus aligned himself with the right authority of his baptism. Jesus aligned himself with the right authority of his baptism. Hold your place and go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. God says in verse 1 of Malachi 3, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. This is prophetic of John the Baptist, who would be baptizing in the wilderness, who was a miracle child by the two grandparents. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus, now think about this. Jesus being God, you believe that Jesus is God because the scriptures teach it, right? So Jesus being God, if anyone could have baptized himself, it would have been Jesus. And he would have been right, and he would have done it the right way. If anybody who didn't need to walk a day's journey, it would have been Jesus. And just said, hey, you, over there, I'm giving you the authority to baptize. But guess what? He didn't do that. He walked 25 miles, at least, to John the Baptist, to the Jordan River, and got baptized by John the Baptist. Why? He aligned himself to the right authority because God the Father had given the authority to John to baptize. Amen?
Amen.
He also aligned himself with the right message and the right mode. The message is that God's authority matters even if it is inconvenient. Jesus walked about 25 miles to Jordan. I looked at the map today, just the old maps, and looked at the scale of the map from Nazareth of Galilee to Jordan. No matter which way he would have went to the Jordan River, it's at least 25 miles. And that's not an easy journey without a car. It'll take you a while. And Jesus emphasizes to us even today that he made sure it was important to get baptized by God's authority. Amen?
Amen.
Number four. Boy, I have a couple of mistakes on this today. But number four, the membership transfer by letter of recommendation. So you say, where do you find that in the Bible? We'll go to it. So let's say somebody wants to join this church. Okay? And if they're not saved, they can't join. Because that's unscriptural. Okay? So they have to get saved and then be willing to get baptized in order to be added to this church. Okay? So there's that way. Or there's someone who's already been saved and baptized in another church of like faith, and they can join, but that would be the transfer by letter of recommendation. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Verses 1 through 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. And yes, that is the right way to say that word. It is not succorer. That is not the right way to say it. It's succorer. All right? And so, she receives a letter of recommendation, or if you would, two verses of recommendation that were given to the church from Ephesus to Corinth. All right? And so, it is biblical. So, I cannot speak for another church, only this local New Testament Baptist church. Since the subject of this study addresses this church's requirements of those who seek membership by means of a letter of commendation and transfer from another church, the first consideration has to be, with what kind of church will letters be exchanged? There are churches of all kinds in every geographical location. Okay? There are churches in our community. They have the name church on them. By biblical standards, you compare them to what Scripture says, they don't measure up. So should we honor them if God doesn't honor them? No. Should we seek to have them understand what our position is? Absolutely, if someone is willing. But if the Roman Catholic so-called church wants to write a letter of recommendation that so-and-so, Tom, is a great fellow and he's served in our church and he's been there 40 years. Do I receive that recommendation so that he can join the church?
No.
No. Now, let's say by chance he had the right mode of baptism. Let's say by chance they took him to a river and baptized him. So he comes and he says, well, I was baptized in the river. No, I'm sorry. You were raised in that doctrine. You need to repent of that doctrine, get saved, and then be baptized by this Baptist church who seeks to honor God. And then you can be added to this church. It's not to try to be offensive. We are honoring the Lord in this church.
Amen.
If you move away from that, what happens then? Then now you have people that are unsaved in the church. You have people that don't agree with the doctrine of the church. And you have a compromised church, and it will not last long. So the membership transfer by letter of recommendation, we accept by another church. They don't have everything. There's no two churches that are exactly alike. The personality of the pastor is different. The people there are different. The sound system is different. The lighting is different. The building is different. The names are different. But there should be some core beliefs that measure up to honor the Lord.
Amen.
And those should be what we have covered here tonight. And so we don't seek to offend. We seek to honor the Lord. And if it offends people when we honor the Lord, that's the position that we must take. We ought to obey God rather than men. I just read an article, I believe it was in Canada. Canada is crazy right now. There was a young man, and I thank God for his want to stand on truth. There was a young man going to a Catholic school, and he said, men and women are different. And the police came and arrested that young man. And he can't go back to that school. Because he said men and women are different. What kind of a school is that? They call themselves a Christian school. There's nothing Christian about that. There's definitely nothing Christian about many churches. Not because I say so. Because they don't measure up to the standards of the Word of God.
Amen.
Any questions or comments on the lesson tonight? None whatsoever. This is probably something that you've heard before. A few times. Good. Good. Yes, Steve.
I work with a Lutheran pastor that has resigned. He went to a Baptist church. He asked me, why do they want me to get rebaptized? I had to try to tell him in a nice way that Lutheran church is not an authorized church for baptism. Is that the right way to go about that?
It is, but he might not understand what you mean by authorized. I love the example of Jesus. Jesus could have picked anyone to baptize him, but he didn't. Why? He went to John the Baptist, and he went to where there was much water, and he got baptized because God gave John the authority. Who else was baptizing at that time when Jesus was on earth? Nobody. It was only after that that Jesus commissioned them to go and fulfill the Great Commission. But it was John the Baptist. He was the only one baptizing. And people would come to John. And Jesus came to John. And by the way, baptism isn't part of salvation. And that question will get thrown out. Well, why are you such a stickler on baptism if you don't think it saves you? I had a Mennonite preacher ask me that. And boy, I just tried to point him to the same truth. And I looked at him and I said, your catechism goes against the scripture. It talks about water baptism, at least that one. And I was very familiar with it because my oldest brother tried to memorize that thing when he couldn't read to try to join the church. And so I knew what it said. And I have one of those catechisms in my office. And I read the thing and it says in there that water baptism saves. So I said, sir, you need to throw that thing out. And they have now, which is a good thing. But where's their foundation still? Mm-hmm. And water baptism doesn't save you. Why is it so important then to honor the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
To honor the Lord. Because God honors His Word. If we don't honor His Word, He will not honor us or what we do here. Now, I know we live in a day and age where, man, the bigger the church, listen, if I change the music here, and you all agree with changing the music here, we can get a big crowd too. Is that what we want?
No,
none of us want that. Why? We're Baptists by conviction. We're not Baptists because, well, this is my preference. Well, I prefer to be in a Baptist church because, you know, they're nicer people. Well, not necessarily so. I hope so. But that's not why I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist by conviction. And I'm the first Baptist in my entire family. Anybody else? You're the first Baptist in your entire family? Look how many. The Lord does that. And it's not the easiest road to travel, is it? No, it's not. And yet, by conviction, we say, well, this is the truth that God showed me, and I've acted on it, and this is where I'm going to stand. And we don't have to be mean about it. We can be nice about it. And say, well, let's look at the example of Jesus. You know, let's say, for instance, we're talking to someone, they say, well, you know, it doesn't matter, sprinkle, pour, immerse. You know, there's some churches that'll accept all three. And by the way, if a church accepts all three, that church, I won't accept their reference, their letter of recommendation, because their foundation, their teaching false doctrine. Mm-hmm. If a church says, you know, you choose which one you want to do, sprinkle, pour, or immersion, we got the tank here, and they choose immersion, he's still got the wrong doctrine.
Yeah.
Somebody says, it doesn't matter, sprinkle or pour. There is nowhere in Scripture. Listen, I tell you this all the time. If Jesus Christ commanded us to fly to the moon, I would endeavor to fly to the moon. Without a rocket ship if I had to, but I would find a way to get to the moon if Jesus Christ commanded us to go to the moon. He hasn't done that. But he has not, and I repeat, he has not told us to sprinkle or pour. The word rantizo, sprinkle or pour, has never been used in connection with the Great Commission or a church baptizing convert. Never. It's baptizo. That is the word. And it means baptism. It means immersion. That's what it means. Any other questions? Comments? Yes.
I forgot about the sister, something
trying to remember who that was. Yeah, somebody, you know, they came to church, and his sister, no, it was her sister. Her sister baptized her. Now I remember who it was. Her sister baptized her in the backyard of the pool, and you weren't going to convince her otherwise because she was sincere. Do you know that you and I can be sincerely wrong? I mean, you can be serious as a 9-inch nail. You can be as serious as a pole in the ground, but you can be dead wrong. And a lot of people are dead wrong in it. And we need to teach them if they're open. You know, if someone says, well, you know, I had somebody very near and dear to me tell me this. Said, I'm never going to get baptized by you. I said, good, because I wouldn't baptize you. What? I said, no, you got to get saved first.
That's right, amen.
So when this subject comes up, you might want to just steer it aside. It might not be the time to discuss this subject. So you're serious? You want to know about water baptism? All right, let's talk about salvation. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. And let's look at how we're dead in trespasses and sins, and how the Lord has raised me up. Now I'm alive in Christ. Let's talk about the soul, the body, and the mind, will, and emotions, and the spirit. Let's talk about that. Let's go to John chapter number 3. There you had a religious man. And that religious man, though he memorized more scripture than I probably ever will, he was a lost man. And Jesus looked at him and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then he repeated it, saying to the nation, in the word ye, in the plural, saying, ye must be born again. Everyone must be born again. So you might want to just defer or say, can we get back to that subject? You'll understand it so much better once you know the author of the book that tells us how to do it. So let's not be mean about it. I don't want to be a mean Baptist. I really don't. And sometimes we get accused of being mean. I haven't, because I'm just a nice guy. But some people do. Right, Brother Ray? All right. Well, I enjoyed teaching this lesson. We're going to take a little more time for prayer tonight to get more of the prayer list. And we do have some prayers that we need to add to it. So let's close in prayer. Father, I pray that you take this lesson, Lord, that we would be a people that would honor you because you honor your word. You have told us you'll preserve it to every generation. You told us that not one jot nor one tittle will fall from it till all be fulfilled. You have promised that your word is all powerful and that you have all authority from the Father, and you gave that authority to the local New Testament church. Help us, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission. Help us to honor you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.